That's the birth pains what we're going through, and then we're going to go into a new period starting in the year 2000. Let me show you another. I attended another workshop on biblical prophecies. This is a chart of the Great Pyramid of Giza. They call it Cheops, located in Egypt. The presenter talked about the man who studied, the man's name is David Davison, studied the Great Pyramid for 25 years, and then he wrote a book about the mysteries of the Great Pyramid. He said the base of the pyramid represents the beginning of the Adamic race, 4000 BC. Then he said that the line going up to the king's chamber is measured 1 inch in the pyramid. 1 inch equals 1 year. So as you follow the line, at this point where the entrance to the pyramid meets that line is the date of Exodus. And from Exodus you continue on up, and right before you enter the Grand Gallery is the date of the birth of Christ. That's the bottom. The top is the death of Christ. Then you enter the Grand Gallery, which leads you to the King's Chamber. Now within the King's Chamber, according to David Davison, is that 1 inch now becomes 1 month. Whereas before, well, 1 inch was 1 year, 1 inch is now 1 month. And this point is 1933, and the prediction is that's when people would discover, would enter the King's Chamber, and it came true. Across the bottom to the other corner, is the date is 1958, and that was the beginning of the purification. Edgar Cayce said that from 1958 to 1999 will be 40 years of purification here on the planet. And as you go up, right here you find 1998. Also, Cayce said that this will be the year of the second coming of the Christ, 1998. Van Alken said 1997, so it's very close. The year 2000, right above, the third block, the year 2000 would be the beginning of the new cycle. Cayce, Nostradamus, Gordon Michael Scallion says that the year 2000, a new star will enter into our galaxy, ushering in the new age. As you go on up, the apex is 2033. Now, according to Cayce, from 1998, from the date of entering the chamber, 1938, to the year 2033, there will be a new influx of souls into Earth's plane. These souls will be changing. They will bring about new ideas. There will be a new race entering Earth's plane, and by the year 2033, they will be firmly established.
So the sacred number 7 appears not only in Judaic history, but is a number we always remember as American Indian people.
Yes.
That is amazing. Another question that I think is important is when dealing with our spiritual unity. When will spiritual unity occur among mankind, and how does this all relate to, I might say, a man's spiritual evolutionary journey?
According to the Bible, the spiritual unity will start in the year 2000 with a new millennium. But according to Cayce and according to Gordon Michael Scallion and Nostradamus, that's going to happen when the second star appears. Now, ironically, there's a prophecy before all of these, the Hopi prophecy of the blue star Kachina. And the blue star Kachina, when she arrives, that's going to usher in the new age. Now, I got this chart from a November issue of National Geographic. And in there they had an article on Orion's nebula. Nebula means cloud or dust. And the article alluded to the fact that these nebula are where stars are born. And this is one of the most famous nebula in our heavens, Orion's nebula. Now, as I took a closer look at that nebula, it comes from this area of Orion's belt. And up here is the Orion constellation. Right to the right of the three stars of Orion's belt is the Orion's nebula. That's where the stars are born, according to that chart. Now, the interesting thing that I wanted to point out was that this area of the heavens, here's Orion's belt, and Orion's nebula would be right there. This is where the star, the new star, is going to be born. And you notice, what part of the buffalo is that?
Right at the heart.
The heart of the buffalo. This is where the new star, the blue star, Kachina, the second star that's entering into our heaven, into our solar system. This new star, when it appears, is going to emit a blue light on the planet. And this blue light is going to open the top three chakras of the all human beings. That's going to be what's going to usher in the 1,000 years of peace. We're going to have brotherly love, and we're going to have unity and cooperation, peace, all of those things. Let me talk a little bit about what I'm talking about when I say chakras. The body is made up of vibratory centers. These vibratory centers react to different frequencies of light. This is called a flowering tree. I got this idea from one of our great holy men. His name was Black Elk. Black Elk talked about when the six grandfathers took him to the center of the universe, they showed him the flowering tree. And as I started to study the flowering tree, I found that not only is the flowering tree there, but it's here. What's out is within. Macrocosm, microcosm. These different vibrations of light. These three, the throat is healing. The crown is the third eye, instinct, intuition. And the top of the head is all-knowing, wisdom. These three will open up. That will bring about the Bible says 1,000 years of peace. Gordon Michael Scallion says that star will remain there for 1,800 years. So we're going to have 1,800 years of brotherly love and peace.
What does the flowering tree represent during Black Elk's generation? Was that the center pole for the sun dance, as well as the human body?
It is, because the sun dance, the center tree represents, the sun dance circle represents the universe, and the tree in the center represents the creator. And the creator, at the top of the sun dance pole, it's divided into two dominant branches. This represents the duality of everything in the universe. Positive, negative, light, dark, good and bad, male, female. Everything is in pairs of opposites except the Creator. Tunkashila Wakantaka is both.
I have noticed in talking with you, Dr. Ross, a lot of these events are coincidental. And we wonder about that. And I think you pose that question to many of the people that have attended your seminars. Is much of this coincidence, or is it what you refer to as synchronicity or synchronicity, I'm sorry.
In studying synchronicity versus coincidence, I found that there is no such thing as coincidence. When two things happen at the same time, there's a purpose, a plan, a reason for that. And they call it, that's known as synchronicity. At first, when I first started getting into studying my native way, I didn't know it in the beginning, and I had to study it. I had to go out and research and learn and participate. And I'd come across things coincidentally, And that's what I thought it was. And I went to my mentor, Dawson Norris. And he said, no. He said, there's no such thing as coincidence. He said, you were guided there to learn these things. So and Carl Jung would call that synchronicity. There's a purpose, a plan for everything that happens.
Dr. Ross, you are an expert in dream interpretation, well-respected among our people for that gift. If I might, and if you would allow me, I'd like to take some excerpts from one of your dream journals dated October the 7th, 1995. And as I read these excerpts, would you tell us the significance of what it meant to you? You write, I was asked to dance, the dropped feather dance, but it seemed to me like an honor song. I felt like I was almost naked. And then I asked a young boy to help, who was dancing by my side, who was dancing with me.
Let's go through the whole dream and then we'll come back to it.
He was on my right side as we danced toward the center. And the center appeared as an altar with four eagle feathers. And the four eagle feathers were stuck in the ground, and pointing upward behind the feathers was a deer horn figure that had an aura or a halo of a trophy. And the boy and I danced in from the north, and then next we approached the center from the east. And as we did, Ron Goodeagle joined us on my left. And as we approached Ron Goodeagle, he prayed in his language. And I reached out and pushed an eagle feather into the ground to let anyone who doubted know that I knew the dance. Next, we danced in from the south. And at this point, an elder gave me the horn honor trophy and one feather. And next, we danced in from the west, and then we turned around and danced out. It was like the organizers or the elders were telling us how and where to dance, but I knew the song and had danced this dance many times before, and to me, it felt good again. It felt good to dance again.
Okay, let's go back over that dream piece by piece.
You were asked to dance the drop feather dance, and it seemed to you that it sounded like an honor song, and you felt like you were almost naked, and you asked a young boy nearby to dance with you.
First of all, when a person drops a feather, that's kind of like a symbol of bad luck. There's a reason why he dropped that feather. So they want to have this song as a blessing, to bless that feather so that the person can retrieve it, pick the feather up and wear it again. So the drop feather dance is a blessing into for something that appears to have been brought about because of bad luck. The fact that I was naked in the dream means that I have nothing to hide. I'm coming out there revealing everything. I have nothing to hide. The fact that I asked the young boy to help me pick up, retrieve the feather, dance for the feather, bless the feather, was the fact that youth will be coming with me to help me in blessing the feather.
In your dream, the young boy was on your right side as you danced toward the center, and then the center appeared as an altar where four eagle feathers were stuck in the ground and pointing up. And behind the feather was a deer horn figure that had an aura of a trophy.
Once again, there's that number four. Four eagle feathers is a symbol of being sacred. And the symbol four is a symbol of the creator. So the eagle feathers pointing upward would be the creator. Symbols pointing toward the creator and are the creator. The deer horns in this case represent a cycle, cyclic action, because deer horns are discarded and regrown every year. So it represents a cycle.
And as you and the boy danced in from the north and went back, you came back and you began approaching the center from the east. And as you did, one good eagle joined you on your left. And he prayed in his language.
when you interpret dreams, all dreams are not literal. Matter of fact, over 90% of your dreams are symbolic. So you need to understand the symbology. Now, with Ron Goodeagle coming beside me and dancing with me does not mean that Ron Goodeagle is going to come and dance with me.
Right.
He's a symbol for the elders. He's a symbol for the traditional dancers that are coming in. And the fact that Ron Goodeagle has to pray, it means that we're going to have the support of the traditional dancers, the elders. We're going to have their support when they come, when they dance with us to retrieve this feather.
Then you reached out and you pushed an eagle feather into the ground to let any of the doubters there know that you knew the dance. And then you danced in from the south. And at this point, an Indian elder gave you the horned honor trophy and one feather.
The fact, I just had a feeling, you know, a lot of people, when I tell things, like when I come out with my first book, I talked about brain hemispheres and how that related to culture. When I first come out with that, a lot of people didn't believe me. And it took years and years and years of studying and research until finally people started understanding what I was saying. Well, the same thing now. These things that I'm saying now on this video and the previous video, people don't fully understand, and a lot of people doubt. So there was a lot of disbelievers. So that part of the dream is where I went ahead and touched that eagle feather and pushed it in the ground, was to let people know that I know what I'm talking about. And I've studied this. And then the fact that I went in and the organizers, which were the grandfathers, the elders, they gave me this horned a trophy. Like what that represents is the cycle. We're coming to the end of a cycle. We're getting ready to prepare for a new cycle. That's what the horns giving me. They wanted me to do this.
Then we danced in from the west and danced out again. And it was, as you described, like the elders or the organizers were telling you where to dance. But you knew the song because you had danced that song many, many times in the past. But to you, it felt good to dance again.
Yes, I've traditional danced for many years, over 20 years. I've been a traditional dancer. But over the past 2 years, I haven't danced, primarily because of contests. Dancing is a lot different than the old social dancing we used to do. And I just became so frustrated with contest dancing. I don't dance anymore unless I go to a ceremonial dance. So anyway, I haven't danced for 2 years. And when I danced this dance, I really felt good. I really felt good. And so the interpretation would be that we're coming to the end of a cycle. The grandfathers wanted this information shared with more people. So they selected me as one of the people, because it's happening all over the planet. Now, I'm not the only one. There's thousands and thousands of people talking about the same thing, preparing people for these end times and for what we need to understand to go on to the brighter future, 1,000 years of peace.
Dr. Ross, this has been a fascinating journey into understanding some of the American Indian prophecies and how they relate to many of our modern-day contemporary prophets, such as Edgar Cayce and others that you mentioned in this particular sequel. What can we look forward to in the sequel to this sequel, if I may ask?
We already have plans to do another video. And the follow-up video will be on spiritualism, instinct, spiritual healing, taking a look at spiritual healing techniques, taking a look at some of the traditional native. In particular, we want to go through, take a close look at the sweat lodge ceremony, and talk about how healing is performed.
Do you have a projected release date for video number 3?
No, I just know it's coming.
Thank you, Dr. Ross.
Thank you.
I guess it's chow time.
Don't say it a little louder.
Okay, one quick thing before everybody gets to chow down here. I want to remind everybody who doesn't know about it that on August 28th, here in this meeting room, David Icke is going to be here. And he's going to share with us some of the information. He's currently touring the Western United States. And an associate of David Icke's, David Griffiths, is over here, and he's got some of David Icke's books and videos and things, so you might want to check that out. Also, check out Little Crow's material over here. He's got tapes and books also. So please support these people the best you can, okay?
Start it again.
Aloha. Aloha. Speak just a little bit, because I consider it partially my party. Thank you. Thank you. You always make me proud, and that's really not what I'm supposed to say. But I suppose a father's pride is acceptable. A lot of work, a lot of growing, and you're gaining on graduation. And I think maybe it's a little bit sad when you think what you have to do in front of you. But I want you to realize something, that if you've learned your lessons, you can do it. There's not a way that you can do it until you know what it is that you must face. And I know, I hear, well, we could sure do without a lot of these things, and this thing, and that thing. No, no, there are no shortcuts. Growth is a necessary thing, and you're going to put your fingers into a lot of pots, and they're going to get burned. And there's a little saying that I don't particularly like, the one who said it, and that was Mr. Clinton, who said, you know, well, I'm going to paraphrase. If I get burned once, that's my fault, and I should learn from that. If I get burned twice, it really is my fault, and I must be pretty stupid. And any time after that that I stumble into those same dark pathways, because don't for one minute think that just because you pass a dimensional barrier of some kind that you're different. And you could have listened closely to what Dr. Ross had to say. And you would have heard this message all the way through it. The difference is a matter of frequency and particulate. If I put my particulate in your frequency, you're going to get arrested and sent to prison. It's that simple. And you have plenty of observers here this very day. Just waiting for that old guy upstairs to blunder just a little bit. And it's hard not to when you have your family gathered. But I'm not going to. And we'll see how the rest of the time works out. I want to start back again while everybody gets settled. And we don't mind chewing if you do it quietly. But Little Crow does have a heavy, heavy load. And, yeah, he's one of these sacred people. Well, I'd like to meet one who's not. And all of you are sacred. Everything on this place and in the universe is sacred. There is a truth for every individual. And when one's tried to sort out these truths, you find that this one is a lie, that one is a lie. This is the part of a growing child. How is a child going to learn if it doesn't reach out and miss? And then it misses, and then it misses, and then it finally is able to pick up something with its little hands. And then forevermore, parents are no, 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 no. But that's the way learning comes. And a lot of us are tired because a lot of us have been around a long, long, long string of times. When he showed you the circle, as we move into the duality of life itself, it's easiest to explain that in the male-female relationship simply because it has a connotation, something you can relate to. And the world is made up of electricity, charged particles. And there is no future, no past. You're in it. Only perceptions change. And if there is any actual motion at all, it is simply up and down. But you experience it, as Little Crow said, linearly. We call it sequence of events. And I'll get my turn tomorrow for everybody who wants to stay, and I have already laid down my request to please not let her talk all night. Put tape over her mouth, whatever is required. I'm going to need her voice. But I'm sorry Little Crow has to go because we have some other remarkable people in this room. Teddy is here. He has come a long way. He has traveled a long way. And he knows me. So don't ever underestimate what you may find in the chair next to you. And I'm sure that he would share some of his experiences and truth with us tomorrow. And then we'll go day by day by day till you eat every bit of this food. And about Thursday, you know, after she brings all those cakes and things tomorrow, you're going to wish you'd eaten it today. But bless you, I thank you, I truly thank you. And now here's your stick. Would you rather have this pinch-on microphone?
Oh, modern tech? No.
All right.
You may want to say something else. I'm going to take the stick and move over here. Thank you. As accustomed as I am to standing up.
I have very long arms. It's okay.
I realize that too. It's good to be back with you after that break, and I want to thank everyone who brought and provided food for us and the nourishment, and to remember that food and that it sacrificed for us and gave of itself that you could have that nourishment and mind and body and our spirit. And I want to pay respect to the first people of California on whose land we stand up here, that we not forget them, because it's very important that the first people in California always be remembered. We are visitors in their land, whether we have a mortgage, a title deed, or whatever the hell it is that we think makes sense. It is still their land, and their spirits are here. They're endowed in the trees and the rocks and the mountains and valleys that we pass and drive through and drive over, and they will constantly be with us, as the first people of California are still here too. They have not diminished, but are growing. And in that growth, they're taking a lot of advice that Chuck spoke of in buying property and building. And it's all built upon the idea that people have money and want to somehow find a way to get rid of it. So they've built and launched into the casinos operation. And as you know, that's becoming very, very, very successful in California, allowing the tribes to become self-sufficient and self-determinant. and creating jobs and money flow in the surrounding communities and putting people to work.